Hey, how you doing today, Fox River? Good. Good to hear. I'm Pastor Rob, one of the weekend, or part of the weekend teaching team, but oftentimes I'm not here during this time slot on Sundays because I'm also the campus pastor of Muskego campus, and so they are just finishing up services over there right now, their second service, but it's good to be here in Waukesha, be able to spend some time together. If we haven't got to meet, I hope that we might get to even after service, possibly today or sometime in the future. I get to kick off just a great series that we're going to be going into here called My Verse. That's why you've heard some of our speakers share a little bit of what their verse is, even today, kind of in prep for that. And I hope that'll be something that you'll consider doing as well, as to find out what your verse is if you don't already know. And we'll talk a little bit about what I mean by that. But one of our goals or our aim here with this series is that we're able to take God's word and put it front and center in our lives. Now, think about this. Maybe you can see the significance in this. There are 30,000 things that happen in one day. Anybody have a stab at what that might be? Last night somebody said sins. I'm like, oh, you're really bad if that's the case. Okay, that's not good. Not good. What's that? Thoughts? That might be. Yeah, that could very well be. What? Heartbeats? Wow, that could be another one. You got some good answers here. 30,000 is a conservative guess on how many words that you hear in one day. Not how many you speak. Now, some of you are saying, do you have to remind me, please? Because 29,000 of those come from somebody that lives with me. And the other 1,000 is me talking to myself, trying to stay sane while they're using those 29,000. Okay? No, they come from all different places, don't they? They come from our parents. They come from our kids. They come from our coworkers. They come from commercials. They come from music we listen to, our neighbors, students, teachers, whoever they may be, we receive a lot of messages in one day, don't we? Don't you just wish, or could you just dream about there being this filter that kind of filtered all the nonsense out and just gave you the important ones? Wouldn't that be so cool? Well, like I said, we want to make sure that we're hearing the messages that we should. And think about if you could increase how much you heard God speak to you in one day. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? Well, that's one of the things that we really want to see take place. As I mentioned, the really aim of this My Verse is that God's word would be front and center in our lives. And so we're going to look at a couple of ways that might help that take place, because there is a lot of noise that we have to filter out and factor through. And it'd be so cool to see God work through our lives, because he takes his word and he speaks to us clearly, and we get it and we understand it and we live it out. And so in order for that to happen, though, like I said, we're going to need a few helps. And this is going to stretch us, okay? I know it's going to stretch me. I think if you'll participate in it, it will definitely stretch you as well. And so let me talk about two helps that are going to help us get God's word front and center. Now, we need to practice a response here, because I'm sure it's going to be thought if it's not going to be actually spoken here, okay? I need a big groan from everybody, okay? Kind of like a, ugh. Can you do that with me? Ugh. Okay, here's why. Because one of the ways that you're going to get stretched is, guess what? We're going to do a memory verse. And everybody said, ugh. How come I didn't hear any amens? Come on, all right? Because some of you, as soon as I say memory, you're thinking, I haven't memorized anything since school, which for some of you was just 2 months ago, but for many of us, it was 30 plus years ago. How many fall into the ladder there, okay? It's like, oh man, it's been a long time since I really memorized anything. So like I said, a little stretch, I realize, but you can do it. You can literally do it. You might say, well, how can you say I can do it? Because we do it all the time. We do. We memorize, and it's a healthy thing. It's a good thing, because then we don't have to have it right in front of us. We can actually bring it back, right? Like I said, it happens all the time. Let me prove it to you here, okay? I'm going to give you some phrases. I'll give you the first part. You give me the second part. We'll start with a good old Wisconsin one, a good old Milwaukee one even here, okay? You ready for it? One call. Oh, thank you, David Gruber, for putting that into my head, right? No pain. Yes, you got it. You guys are doing great. See, you're already committing yourselves right here. You realize that, right? You can memorize, can't you? This one you probably heard when you were young, or if you're still young, you may hear it even now. Don't play with fire or You're going to get burned. Now, how many needed to take that very literally? Okay, I did. I'm a pyro, self-admitted pyro here. I love firecrackers. Had one blow up in my hand once even, and it was a small one, thankfully. Like to light things on fire, so I got over it. All right, how about this one? Don't count your chickens before they hatch. How do you know that? I just wrote these down, just randomly. Come on. I thought these were new to me. No, why? Because you've heard them over and over. As I was at a Brewers game, walking down the hallway, guess who strolls by? Guy by the name of David Gruber. About five young men, you know, in their mid-20s. Know what they said? One call, that's all. I'd hate to be David Gruber. Man, he got himself in some big trouble, I think, there. But very effective marketing, right? To the point where we know it. We know it. Even to the point where we're sick of it. Well, we don't want to go to the extent with God's word where we're sick of it, obviously, but we do want to know it. We want to be able to bring it into our lives and say, you know what, this is of great benefit. Kind of like some of those last phrases. It's good to know to not count all your chickens before they hatch, right? It's good to say, you know what, I need to plan for some things, for an emergency here maybe, or I can't always trust exactly the way things seem even. It's good to know. You play with fire, whether it be a literal one or not, you're going to get burned. And so be very, very careful. Give a high amount of healthy fear to some of the things in life that we need to. And so God's word is much the same that way, where we need to know it, and we can't even memorize it. If I were to tell you, I can guarantee you even this, that before the end of the sermon, you will have one memory verse totally committed to memory, and well on your way to a second one. How many of you believe that? Think you believe that? Okay, good. Got a lot of trust in the room. That's good. We're going to start with a real easy one here, okay? The easiest of all, the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35. Anybody already have it memorized? A few of you do, okay? Some of you do and you don't realize it, all right? John 11:35. I want you to say it with me. See if you can get it. Ready? Jesus wept. You got it? You got it memorized. Okay, we'll give you a few more chances here. It's just our memory verse for the day, okay? You ready? Say it together. Jesus wept. One more time. Ready? Jesus wept. Now, let's take it away. You ready? John 11:35. Anybody have it memorized? What's it say? Jesus wept. See how easy that is? You guys are memory verse champs. You can do this, all right? Now, we're going to ratchet it up just a little bit. We're going to take some very foundational verses to keeping God's word front and center. Some of them will even have to do with a few other things, but during this series, we actually want to do this. We want to go ahead and to put God's word, as he says, in our hearts. And so the one that we're going to look at, we find in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. I want you to read it with me here, okay? It says what? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Now, I think probably everyone sitting in this room would say, you know what? I would like more faith. Have you ever said that to yourself? I would like more faith. And what is it natural for us to do then? To say, God, would you what? Give me more faith. And this verse teaches us how faith comes. Did you catch how it comes? It does come from God, but not the way we think, does it? Because we want faith to just kind of trickle into our hearts and into our minds and say, now I believe. And that's not what he says. He says there's a string here of three things. Did you catch them? He says faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. You see, if you remember that you want more faith, you got to realize where it comes from, the source. The source is when you hear God's word. So one more time, let's say it together. Ready? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We take it away. Could you say it? You got 1 week, okay? So we don't have to learn that one today, all right? You got a week. It's on your handout. You can do this. Now, sometimes we need some helps. I found some things that help is when I say it like 10 times a day. If I say something over and over, right? It's that repetition that helps me to remember. But I also found that there's a nice little tool that many of you probably already use. It looks like this right here. Is this anybody else's memory enhancer right here? Okay, you don't want to forget something? Nobody else? I'm the only one? I've seen some of your desks, I'm sure, okay? All right. If you want to remember something, what do? You write it down on a sticky, and then you take that sticky note, and what do? You place it somewhere where you will see it regularly. What might be a good place for something like that? Refrigerator, good idea, yeah. Something else you have to look at regularly, right? Computer, yeah, good. How about something like this? How about a mirror? Okay, and I'm not talking about the rear view mirror in your car. That would not be a good idea, all right? Okay, not even the steering wheel, okay? But put it on your mirror. Isn't it cool? We have a modern day sticky note. It's also in that picture right there. What is it? Smartphone. Anybody else have a smartphone? Do you realize you can write on your sticky note, which is good because writing helps you to remember, to retain. You can write it on there, and that's, guess what you can do? You can take a picture sticky note, and then you know what you can do? You can make it your wallpaper. And guess what? You got it on your phone, front and center, right there for you to look at. Or you can do the easy way and just type it out, okay? But you can go ahead and say, you know what? I'm going to put this in a place where I'm going to see it at least once a day, at least once a day. Where I can read through it, because as many times as I read through it, the more likely I'm going to remember it, because I want God to work in me through this. And this is one of those passages that's a great reminder that if we want our faith to grow, then we're going to need to know God's word. We're going to need to hear God's word. And so to keep that before us. A second help of keeping God's word front and center is what we call my verse. What we want you to do is to choose and then share even with others what your my verse is. And we'll give you some helps with that. You might be already thinking, what is a my verse? Well, it comes by another term many times called a life verse. Anybody hear of a life verse before? Okay, not too many? That's okay. It's probably better that you haven't, because life verse has a certain connotation with it that we need to get away from, okay? Because you kind of sweat a little bit like, wow, this is of great importance, the life verse. This is like a life verse, you know? And we put this weight on us. It's like, I got to get it, a life verse. Well, we're just saying, you know what? At this season of time in your life, there may be a verse that sticks out to you more than any other. Choose that as your verse. You might say, well, what do you mean? Let me give you a working definition here. My verse, we're simply talking about a truth that I hold on to because it has taken hold of me. So something that maybe God has marked you deeply with at this point in time. Maybe it's something inspirational. Maybe it's something I'd call directional, where it's like a compass keeping you on track even. Whatever it may be, something that God's using to speak to you. Now that brings a couple questions in and of itself, doesn't it? When you talk about a verse and choosing a my verse, here might be a couple of questions that arise. The first one, how do I choose one? You thinking that? Possibly. If you've never done this before, you might be like, well, how in the world do I go about getting one? Okay, let me tell you. In the Bible, there are 31,000 plus verses. That's a lot, right? Similar to that, how many words we hear in a day. So 31,000. So you remember your homework this week, right? Memorize what? Romans 10:17. Let me give you one other homework. Very simple though, okay? You need to read through all 31,000 verses and just pick one. All you have to do is just one, okay? That's it, all right? Now, you're going to need to go on vacation this week in order to accomplish that task, okay? All right, no, we're going to make it a little bit simpler for you. What we've done is we've chosen 50 of some of the verses that throughout history have kind of bubbled to the top, where people have chosen them as their own life verse, or they've kind of said, you know what, this is one that I continually come back to over and over. And what we've done is we put them on our website so that you can go there and you can read through just 50 there. And you might not have to read through all 50 even. Someone will be scrolling across the page there even. And you can just see, is there something that kind of resonates here with where I'm at in life right now? You might ask some other people, hey, have you ever chosen a verse before, your favorite verse? Why is that? And that might help as well to kind of see, wow, this is why this has happened. Because God has been speaking to me, and I want it to be very clear. Now, here's another one. And I'll have to be honest, I find myself sometimes asking this one too. So, here's one of the struggles when you talk about my verse. Not only how do I choose one, but can I change it later? Good question, right? And here's the answer. Absolutely not. Never, ever, ever. See the problem with life verse? Okay? It's not you're choosing it for life, because some of you will never choose a verse if it's that much weight on it, right? No. It's not like Peter's waiting up there, and when he hears you say, this is my verse, that he wrote it down saying, you're sticking to it for the rest of your life. I don't care if you find a better one, okay? You got to stick with that one, all right? It'd paralyze us, wouldn't it, for a while. He's not saying that. He's saying, you know what? Go ahead, choose a verse. You want to switch it out later? That's good. We need to switch it out later. Our lives change. We have things that we deal with at one point in time, at one season of life, and then a different thing at another season of life. We need to say, okay, God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to help me to understand your word better, in a better way. Of course, we can change it later. So what's my verse, my personal verse at this point in time, at this season of life? Would be found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, right away, I can already see. Didn't you say my verse? You do understand, you just picked two, right? Yes, I'm a pastor. I get to break the rules and do that, all right? So a little bit more memorization for me, though. But it's because these two go together. They really do. One passage, it repeats the same thing, basically, in the second passage, just in a different way. But you'll find it in the book of Proverbs, page number 987. You can turn there if you'd like to. Simply, if you open up your Bible halfway, you'll find the book of Psalms. If you go to the right, you'll find the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and you'll see verses 5 and 6. And let me read it to you here. This is what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, as I mentioned before, I did not choose this verse because it's inspirational. That's not that inspirational to me. There are some things that are helpful there, but I wouldn't call them inspirational. I would call them directional, because I need a compass in my life that when I get off task, when I get off the path, that I'm drawn back to it again. And that's what this verse does for me. Actually, what it does is creates a little more tension in my life. Anybody else need a little more tension? You don't have enough, so you need a little bit? Okay? Well, I guess I do. So I have tension in my life, but I need a little bit more, because here's what I need. I need something that will pull me back to where I need to be. You see, there is tension built in, because it talks about two opposing things here, doesn't it? Basically, God's will and my will. So the tension is really about two trusts. So the tension is between those trusts, those two trusts. Trust who? The Lord. Trust in the Lord, or trust who? Myself, right? It's saying not to do the one, but it's saying those are two options that we choose from. We choose either we're going to trust in God, trust in the Lord, or trust in myself. Now, right away, I want to question that very fact. And here's my question. Can I trust God and myself at the same time? And know what the conclusion is for me? Yes, I can. If we're both going the same direction. But his will and my will are not always the same. Creating an issue. Creating a tension. Creating something where I have to make a decision. Am I going to trust God or trust Rob? Which one am I going to trust? And so God says there's really only one right answer, and I need to remind you of it. And so I've chosen Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 so that I will continually be reminded who I'm supposed to trust. It's not rocket science. You can think, well, are you nuts or what? It's an obvious answer, who you should trust. Well, sometimes it's not so obvious, is it? Because I want to go my own way. So he's saying, you need to trust, and you need to trust me. And so with that, that's the positive side when he says trust in the Lord. But you know what? Even though, yes, I can trust God and myself, that would be to leave out a good portion of that verse, what we'd call an operative phrase, meaning it changes everything if you pull it out. Did you catch how much or to what extent he says to trust in the Lord? With what? All my heart. Now, let's rephrase the question. Can you trust God with all your heart and trust yourself 100% of the time? You cannot. It is impossible. There will be things that we don't understand about God, about who he is, and about what he's doing. And we will pull. And he's saying, you need to trust me at your expense of trusting you during those times. We're going to talk about why that is. As I mentioned, the first part gives the positive. This is what you do. The second part says, this is what you stop doing. Did you catch what you stop doing? He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and what? Do not lean on your own understanding. Here's the issue. We all lean. And guess when you lean the most? When you disagree with someone else, right? Let's test this out, okay? Been talking to a few people about baseball. In fact, some of them said, let's move on from baseball into football. Anybody else in that position right now? It's like, let's get past baseball. Let's go to football. And I have to remind them, the Brewers are in first place, people. What are you doing trashing that team, okay? I get to trash that team, but you can't trash that team, all right? My team's in first place, too. They just wear a different color, okay? So, anyways, let's move to football, all right? The person beside you is a big fan, okay? Even if they're not, they are today. Pretend, okay? They are a Chicago Bears fan. I want you to look at them right now, okay? And what is your natural inclination, you being a good Packer fan, to do what? To lean in towards them and put your arm around them, say, I just love you so much. I don't understand why you like that team, but I just love you so much. It is wonderful. No, what's your inclination? To lean away from them and say, I don't get you. I don't know why you would cheer for that team down south. I don't get it. Any Bears fans in here? We've had a few every service. None? Do we? Oh, would you please leave right now? We don't like you, okay? Sorry, all right? You lean away from them, don't you? It's like, oh, but if they think the same way you do, if they believe the same way you do, what do? You lean in. Now God's asking you to do something that is totally awkward. He's saying, when you don't understand me, even when you don't agree with me, I want you to lean into me and not lean towards your own understanding. And you're going to have to trust me in order to do that. You may say, well, what are those leanings? Well, let me give you a few common leanings that we have. At least when I say common, I have them. I've heard enough other people talk about them. I would say they have them too. But it would be something simple like this. Something where I know God says different than what I understand reality to be. Here would be one of those. Return evil for evil. Anybody lean that way? You know, the whole eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know, you took my tooth out, I'll take your tooth out. Anybody like that? I'm the only one. I'm a little embarrassed right now. Really? I'm the only one who thinks that way. Okay? All right. Okay. Let me put it this way. Anybody else like to get a little revenge, you know? Anybody else sit there and say, okay, God, when you say I will repay, I'm not sure you're going to do a good enough job, so let me take care of this one. Anybody like that? Okay, I thought so. All right. Okay. That means we're leaning where? Into God or away from God? Away. We're leaning towards our own understanding. Why? Because my own understanding says, God, you will not take care of this good enough, so let me do it. Or if you do it, I won't feel happy about it. Okay? So let me take care of this. Let me return evil for evil, because that will teach that person a lesson and I'll be fine. Right? That's what my understanding tells me. It's not what God says, though. He does say to return good for evil. And that will be what we see change another person's life, hopefully. And so we need to agree with him on that, but it's going to take a trust in him. How about this one? Still deals with evil, but one of the biggest struggles. Anybody else think evil should not exist? Anybody? That's a good lean, isn't it? Right? It's like, in my world, if I were God, there would be no such thing as evil, right? And here's why. Because anybody struggle with getting their mind around this? Since there's evil present, then how can God be both loving and sovereign? That's hard. That's deep, isn't it? That's like, you ever thought that thought before? In other words, God, I'm going through some pain right now, and in my pain, I can't understand how you could be in control and love me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be going through pain right now. That's a God-leaning or a me-leaning? That's a me lean, isn't it? I'm leaning to my understanding. And God's saying, you don't have the big picture. You don't have all the detail. You don't. But I've created you with some free will, and I am still loving, and I am still sovereign. That'll play out to maybe where we can understand it someday, but right now I can't understand it. Let me ask you to come up with your own. Write one down. What's one of your leanings? You know what? I don't get up in the morning saying, God, let me do your will right now without a little bit of extra thought put in. Now you're saying, well, then you really shouldn't be a pastor then, should you? My will fights God's will because I lean. I lean with my time. I argue with God about how I should spend my time. I argue with God about how I should spend my money. You know what I argue with God about? Who I should love. I argue with God about that whole idea of loving your enemies. Anybody else have that argument? It's like they wouldn't be my enemy, God, if I loved them, right? If you'd change them, then I'd love them. We lean. How do you lean? Here's the biggest leaning of all. Good people go to heaven. Is that a God lean or a man lean? It's a man lean. Do you know why? Because here's how God says someone goes to heaven. He says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, not of works, lest anyone should boast. He says, you cannot be good enough to get to heaven. You can't be. He says, the way a person gets to heaven is through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, shedding his blood, and you trust, that word again, you trust. You place your faith that that's what it took to pay for your sin so that you could be in heaven someday. Is that the same as me being good enough? No. It's a gift that you're given, not one that you earn. And so he's saying, look, good people don't go to heaven. So who goes to heaven then? Well, bad people, obviously, right? No. Okay. Yes, they are bad. All right. Forgiven people go to heaven, not good people. Forgiven people go to heaven. Does that make sense to you? Doesn't to me. Because my leaning would say, here's the bar. If you hit the bar, you're in. If you don't, you're out. You may be here today still struggling with that, saying, I'm trying. I hope I get to heaven someday. I'm really trying my hardest. And he's saying, it's not about trying. It's about trusting. It's about Jesus Christ dying on a cross to pay for your sins. Is there any way you're going to be able to work that through? No, you're not. And so he says, trust him. It's not about being good enough. That's why we have a book you heard Pastor Mark talk about. If you'd grab one, I don't care if this is your first time or not, if you're struggling with this leaning of good people being in heaven, why don't you grab the book called How Good Is Good Enough? It'll flesh that out for you. Take it. It's a great read. Read through it. See what God has to say about relationship with him because it's so very, very important to understand that. With this, God spells it out and he tells us we have a problem. We have to admit to that problem. And it's simply this. We see it in Proverbs again here. It says, there's a way that appears right. Would that be a God lean or a me lean? That's a me lean, right? He's saying there's a way that appears right. Right to who? Right to me. Now look, though. He says, there's a way that appears right, but in the end, it leads to where? Death. He says, you're going down a road, and you think you're going the right way, and I've been telling you you're going the wrong way the whole time, and it's leading to death. That's the message even of, it's not good people, it's forgiven people who go to heaven. Because people who are leaning towards good people going to heaven, they're headed towards death. He says, you need to see that. You need to understand what relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. He says it's so very important that we understand that and that we embrace it and that we trust what he says there because he says it. Trusting God with all my heart means that there's going to have to be an adjustment. And that adjustment's going to come in this form. Going from no limitation thinking. Basically, I have no limits in my thinking. One day I will understand everything God has for me in this lifetime. It's like that's not going to happen. And we have to change from that thinking, you know what, I will get smart enough, I will understand enough, I am already smart enough maybe even, and change that thinking to a no limitation to no limitation, meaning you need to know your limitations. You need to know that God means it when he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. When he says, my ways are not your ways. That there is a gap between our understanding and God's understanding. And when we see that gap, guess what we need to do? We need to lean into him and trust him. And not go back to the comfort of, I'll just keep this ball in my court and I'll believe what I want to believe. Say, no, we need to lean into him. Here's the way in 1 Corinthians 1:25 it puts the gap here. It says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." So he's saying, even the foolishness of God is greater than what we will ever attain in our wisdom. Now, anybody else, when you read that, it's like, what? There's something really weird about this verse, isn't there? Look at that. For the what? Foolishness of God. Anybody else saying, ooh, that's sacrilegious right there, isn't it? God's not calling himself a fool. Guess who's calling him a fool? We are. Every time we say, God, I don't understand you, so I'm going to go with my own gut here. We're saying, God, you're a fool. You see, every time we say, because it doesn't make sense, God, I'm going to do it my way, we're calling God a fool. He says, in the context of this, is that whole good people go to heaven. He says, you know what? That whole salvation by grace, it seems like foolishness to you because you're used to working for everything. And until you realize that it doesn't matter if it's foolish, it's the way that it is, you're going to trust me. But you have to realize that. And so we have to make sure we're not the ones who are saying, God, I don't agree with you. I don't believe you. And so I'm going to do it my own way. He wraps all this up. He says, don't just trust me for trust's sake. I'm going to give you a little benefit if you decide to do it. And that's what we see in verse number 6. He repeats basically in different words, and then he gives us the benefit. He says this. He says, in all your ways, submit to him, and then here will be the result. He says, and he will make your path straight. So the benefit of trusting God is a straight path. Now, how many of you like a straight path? You like it. It's like, I like efficiency. I like to get there, you know? How many of you like a little variety maybe, okay? All right, some of us like variety. Some of you need to be beat up a little bit, bumps and bruises along the way to say, yes, this was well worth it. No, well, when you put it that way, okay, no, I don't like that, all right? He's saying, look, we learned in math class, you have 2 points, okay? You have a here. Let's say here is, I still lean towards, you know what, good people are going to be the ones who are in heaven. But over there, God says, no, forgiven people are going to be in heaven. And he says, I want you to go from here to there. You can either, what, take the direct route, okay, and just trust me, or you can kind of weave your way through and say, no, I think I'll try the good enough thing for a while, and we'll just see where that goes, okay? Right? There's going to be some bumps and bruises. Why? Because it's not right. So he wants us to understand. So we learned in math class what? That the best, the most efficient, the quickest thing between 2 points is what? A straight line. You see, God's saying, take the straight line. Now, we won't, okay? We won't. We'll go up and down. But don't ever get satisfied with the up and down. Because he gives us all kinds of signals. And whereas you might think you need that variety and you like that variety, let's see how much you like that variety. How many of you like these signs when you see them? You like those signs? Anybody been on 94 just recently here? Or you thinking, this is crazy, man. What in the world? They're wasting my time. Anybody look at these signs and just start jumping up and down? Yes, hallelujah, I get to take a road trip today. We get to take the scenic route. This is great. No, we look at detour and we say, well, at least I'm going to get there. I might have to go out of the way a little bit, but at least I'm going to get there. We look at wrong way and say, okay, at least I know it's the wrong way, so all I need to do is turn around. We look at the dead end and we say, I don't have a clue where I'm going. It's done. I don't know anymore where I'm headed. And God's putting these signs in there. And he's saying, trust me. Don't keep going past the dead end sign. It means dead end. He's saying, don't keep going when there's a detour that needs to be made here, and I'm going to provide that detour, and I'm going to show you what that detour is. Let me straighten your path. Not because it's going to be easy, because it won't be easy. Not because it's going to be fun all the time. Sometimes it may be. It could be very exciting. But because it's best. Best for his will and best for your will if you'll make your will in alignment with his. So in reality, he's saying, same thing he started with. Are you going to trust you or are you going to trust me? That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is my verse. And I want to encourage you today that you'd consider that in the areas that you're leaning. You're leaning your own way. And if you're ready to make a commitment or a decision, I want you to take that communication card that you see in the bulletin there, the program, with you. And on the bottom you see there it says, today I made the decision to. And maybe it's to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're still in that good people go to heaven And you need to understand, no, it's forgiven people, and that you want to receive that gift of salvation that he offers. I'd encourage you to write that in there. Maybe you've already made that commitment, but you're leaning in some other area. Maybe it's with your time. Maybe it's with your talents. Maybe it's with your money. Maybe it's with your relationships. And you know you're leaning in the wrong direction, and God's trying to straighten that out for you, and you need to make a decision. I'd encourage you to note that on there and make a commitment to him that you will trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and allow him to make your path straight. Would you pray with me? Lord God, help us to trust you, to push out all that noise around us, to hear you speak clearly to us, for your word to be front and center in our lives, and that we will trust you with it. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen.